Beloved friends, in behalf of the message we have for your hearts this morning, the secret and its administration, I'm reading 12 verses from the 3rd chapter of Ephesians. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you, the Gentiles, if surely you hear of the administration of the grace of God that was given to me for you, that by revelation the secret was made known to me, according as I briefly wrote before, by which when reading you will be able to perceive my understanding in the secret of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of man, as it was now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. In spirit, the Gentiles are joint allottees and a joint body and joint partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the evangel or gospel of which I became the dispenser. According to the gift of the grace of God which was granted to me, according to the operation of his power, to me, less than the least of all saints, was granted this grace to evangelize to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to enlighten all what is the administration of the secret which has been concealed from the eons or ages in God, who creates all, that now may be made known to the sovereignties and the authorities among the celestials through the church, the multifarious wisdom of God according to the purpose of the eons or ages, which he makes in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beloved friends, last Sunday I brought you the message on the secrets of the kingdom of the heavens, given by our Lord in Matthew chapter 13. Preparing our hearts for the message of today, the secret and its administration, I am refreshing your hearts on some thoughts on a brief explanation of the divine meaning of the word mystery or secret as used in the scriptures, and naming the 12 divine secrets as they are revealed in the scriptures. First of all, this word mystery in our common or King James Bible comes from the Greek word mysterion. It was almost a transference. Mysterion, they translated it mystery. But the word mysterion denotes a previously hidden or concealed truth, a divine secret that is now revealed or brought to light in the scriptures. That is the significance of the word mysterion or secret in the Bible. The scriptures reveal 12 divine secrets, and they follow in this order in the scriptures. First, the secrets or mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. You find this in Matthew 13 and other scriptures along with that. You find the second is the secret of the duration of Israel's blindness. Romans 11:25. Third, there is the secret of lawlessness. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Fourth, there is the secret of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Fifth, there is the secret of God's will in Ephesians 1:9. Sixth, there is the secret of Christ, Ephesians 1:10. Colossians 4:3. Seventh, there is the secret and its administration in Ephesians 3:3 and 6, and 6 and 9. 19 and Colossians 1:26. Then there 8 is the secret of marriage, Ephesians 5:32. There is 9 the secret of devoutness, godliness, 1 Timothy 3:16. 10 the secret of the 7 stars of Revelation 1:20. And 11 the secret of God, Colossians 2:2. And Revelation 10:7. And 12, the secret of Babylon the Great, Revelation 17:5-7. Each one of these 12 divine secrets unfolds some marvelous revelation in God's purpose of the ages, especially the secret and its administration in Ephesians 3:3-6, which is specifically concerned with the Gentiles. The threefold wealth of unseen, unheard, unperceived spiritual blessings, exaltation of glory, and a new citizenship in the heavens to which they are called through the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ, of which Paul was made the minister. I am quoting a number of things there that I would enjoy elaborating upon. One of them is the expression, the unsearchable riches of Christ, that was given to Paul, the priest of the Gentiles. Why did we ever find such a phrase as this in the Bible? The gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ, committed to Paul, born the Gentiles. Beloved friends, when we take these thoughts into consideration, we see that God's purpose includes more than just the earth, and it includes more than just Israel and the nations subject to Israel. Here we find that he is unfolding a secret mystery ordained before the world for our glory, and how little it is spoken of, our priests are taught today. The only other revelation of the secret outside of Paul's prison epistles of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians was revealed by Paul in the Corinthian letter of chapter 2, 1, 2, and 6 and 13 of Romans 16:25. Wherein he clearly and definitely explains the secret to be in accord with God's wisdom, which he spoke among the mature and the spiritual when he was ministering in Corinth for 3 years, 51 to 53 AD, not in words taught by human wisdom, matching that which is spiritual with those who are spiritual, bringing spiritually equipped persons into touch with spiritual realities. That is what he was doing in those almost 3 years that he ministered privately in Corinth. This private ministry, Paul was talking among the mature, the spiritual in Corinth, and making known God's wisdom in a secret to the Jewish members of a part of the church, which is the body of Christ, concerning which he further reveals that God indeed placed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. Now, beloved, when I bring up that, I must pause and make another explanation that goes along with it here. These apostles and prophets, watch, these apostles and prophets of the church, which is the body of Christ, must not be confused or mixed in our minds with the prophets and the apostles, the 12 chosen apostles, when the Lord was here on earth during his earthly ministry for the church of God. There he chose out 12 apostles, and there were the prophets and the apostles. That's the way it's given in the scriptures, the prophet and the apostle. But listen, what I'm talking to you about here concerning the apostles and prophets of the church, which is the body of Christ, they were not given until the Lord went back to glory and was exalted at God's right hand. They are not the apostles and prophets of the prophets and the apostles when the Lord was here on earth. That thing is confused and mixed, and until we keep it separated, we will not be able to appreciate or understand the secret which God revealed here in Ephesians that was ordained before the world was. Furthermore, the fact of truth to be held clearly in mind, that the members of a part whom also God indeed placed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, while Paul was there in Corinth, they were definitely and exclusively of the saints, the chosen, predestinated Israelites, because they formed and constituted the foundation on whom the Gentile part was later built. When Paul wrote Ephesians and revealed the secret to the Gentiles, how that they were to have a part in the body of Christ as a joint spot, as joint allottees, and joint partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel of which I, Paul, was made the minister. Now, this is all new. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John knows nothing about it. The Old Testament scriptures knew nothing about it. It was hidden from the ages and from the generations in God until this wonderful revelation was unfolded by God's Spirit through Paul in the Roman prison. There is when it came to life, was brought to life. Another thing about this secret or mystery is that the blessings are in spirit. In spirit. Now, this, I'm sure, if we read the King James Bible, we're going to miss it. Because in the King James Bible, we find it says there that he revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. By the Spirit. That's no revelation. That's no revelation if you stop and think on it, because all revelation is by the Spirit. But the phrase in spirit, standing between two statements, either ending one and beginning another, is definitely emphatic. Therefore, when we recognize that the threefold wealth of the blessings of the secret are to be received and enjoyed in spirit rather than in flesh, and that they are celestial rather than terrestrial, then the whole picture changes. First of all, then, the revelation of the secret was made known to Paul, who now reveals it to his holy apostles and prophets, and he itemizes this secret to thee in spirit, the Gentiles are joined of these, a joint body, and joint partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus, through the gospel of which I was made the minister. Now, until Paul said this, let's get it clear. I have gone over a lot of this with you at other times, but let's say, refresh our minds on it. Back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus and the 12 apostles, there it was the Jew first. He came in under the blessing, and then to the Gentile second. But the Gentile didn't come in jointly. He came in subject. He came in as debtors. He came in relationship to Israel or the kingdom. Entirely different. They were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, and they had to take a place separate from them, and we find that when Philip was sent to the first Gentile Cornelius, the Lord showed him a vision from heaven three times before he was willing or understood that he must go to this Gentile. And when he went down there, he said, it's just not right for a Jew to come in to a Gentile. But the Lord told me what he has cleansed, that's all right. And so he went on that. We have the idea, generally speaking, in Christendom, that Gentiles came in Acts of the Apostles and down through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on equality with Israel. Not so. And listen, beloved friends, when we get over yonder in the Millennial Kingdom, when the Lord brings Israel back into their glory again, as the royal priesthood nation, to make the knowledge of the glory of the Lord cover the earth as the waters form a covering to the sea, and to bless all the nations and families of the earth, Israel will be Israel, and the nations will be nations. They will be blessed through Israel, it's true, but not with Israel. That's the thing that is the secret here in Ephesians, and is not realized today. Now recognize. Therefore, when Paul brought this wonderful truth out here in the book of Ephesians, and he said, to me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace granted to preach the gospel of the unsearchable riches. You can't search it out. Of Christ to the Gentiles. Peter, James, and John, and others, they were not preaching unsearchable riches to the Gentiles when they preached to them. They preached to them the promise God made for them in the kingdom, in under Israel, subject to Israel, in his operation of that time. But Paul is telling something here that carries us yonder among the celestials into a new realm, a new citizenship, in which both Jew and Gentile are made joint allottees and joint partakers there on equality. That's the secret that is here. The divine revelation of the secret in its threefold blessing is brought to light in the evangel, the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. We will hasten along and just enumerate and clarify each one. Joint allottees. This is the Godward side, the Godward relationship of the secret. This is found in Ephesians 1, 3 to 19. The first itemized blessing of the secret brings before the true seeker how that God, in his revelation here, is making known for the first time that he has provided a new lot appropriation. A new lot. He's not destroying. He's not nullifying. He's not undoing all of the lot appropriation and program that he set up and ordained among the prophets of old in the Old Testament. He is simply bringing out of the storehouse of his own great loving heart a new thing, a new citizenship, a new blessing that had never been made known before. And here Paul is unfolding it about this wonderful new blessing. And so for the first time, he has provided a new lot appropriation, not on the earth, but in the heavens. Here's where the trouble comes in. Here's where our trouble comes in. We have not distinguished things that differ and rightly divided the word of truth. So what do? We have come along and put everybody that's good and saved into heaven. And all the rest. That's the problem. That's the problem. Beloved friends, the Bible doesn't tell about everybody going to heaven. In the Bible, we've got an earthly program. Watch it once more. I gave it to you some weeks ago. from Genesis to Revelation, leaving out Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Everything is terrestrial and glorious and powerful in God's great purpose for blessing all the families and nations of the earth, right here on the earth. And when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters form a covering for the sea, and when Israel will be that wonderful channel of blessing to bless all the families and the nations of the earth, bringing them into the knowledge and glory and blessing and salvation of God. But there was not any promise about going to heaven. There is the thing. What we have done, somebody has read Ephesians, and somebody took that and put it back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God never said to do that. What you read in Ephesians was hidden from the generations and from the ages in God. The prophets knew nothing about it. The apostles, Peter, James, and John, knew nothing about it until Paul was graced of God to reveal it in the Roman prison, AD 62. Until we see this, beloved friends, then we miss out on the blessing that is to come to us as Gentiles when we believe the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ for the Gentile. So Paul was graced to make known the secret, and he revealed concerning the new lot appropriation in the heavens. And in this we find that he wrote in Ephesians 1:12, in him in whom we, the chosen predestinated ones out of Israel, have obtained an allotment, allotted in advance, blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. There is the first phrase of it. You pick it up in the first chapter of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing, King James says, in heavenly places. American Revised says, in the heavenlies. And in others, in the heavenly realms, and so on. There are two translations that call the reality in this expression here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials, the heavenly beings. That is the converted version and the Reims New Age Catholic one. They both taught that truth, that it was talking about the celestial beings yonder in the heavens, but the citizenship and the blessing is among the celestial beings. Consequently, when Paul wrote this, what was he trying to tell you and me? Here is what he said. He prays in Ephesians 1, 13 and 19. Paul prays for you also, the Gentiles, who on hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom on believing also, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest for the advance payment of our lot appropriation to the deliverance of that which has been procured, that you may know what is the expectation or hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his allotment among the saints. That's Paul and his Jewish brethren giving thanks to the Father who has made you Gentile believers competent, fit, suitable, qualified to share the lot of the saints in light, blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. There is the change. Now then, notice this. When Paul wrote Ephesians 3:6, he sums up the first blessing of the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ to the Gentiles in the new revelation of the secret to be, that now, in Spirit, believing Gentiles, are together allotted. Together allotted. In the Greek here, it is soon kleronoma. Kleronoma. And it means what is enjoyed together, sharing jointly in full measure with complete equality, the lot of the saints in light, blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. There is the first item of the sequence. It is this joint enjoyment of this allotment, new allotment, yonder among the celestials, not among the nations and Israel on the earth, but among the celestial beings in heaven. Israel, all Israel will be saved according as it is written. They're going to live here on the earth. They're going to live in the holy city, New Jerusalem, that comes down from God out of heaven. But there again, what happens? We've heard that we're going to heaven. And we're going to get a harp and crown. We're going to get golden slippers. We're going to walk all around on the golden streets of the New Jerusalem. That's in the minds of people, beloved. When in your Bible, as far as your Bible tells you, no Gentile will ever set his foot inside of the holy city. They're going to walk outside in the new earth, the paradise of God. That's what God has ordained for Gentiles. They're going, and the Gentiles walk by means of its light, bring their glory and honor into the city. But in the city lives the 12 tribes of Israel, the sons of Abraham. That's what the holy city is for. It's going to come down from God out of heaven. It's not heaven. And it's going to be situated yonder in Palestine, in the very center and heart of the earth. And the Gentiles will walk by means of its light, bring their glory and honor into the city there. But they have no allotment there, whatever. But here he's talking about something new. He's talking about a joint allotment yonder among the spirit beings in heaven. In heaven, among the celestial beings in heaven. This is a secret. It was hid from the ages and from the generations in God. We turn to the next and hurriedly go along. The joint body. When we talk about the joint body of Christ, this is the Christward relationship. And this is given in Ephesians 1:20 through chapter 2, 1 to 10. This is all concerned with the joint body. It itemizes the fact of the Christward relationship of the shared blessings. Believing Gentiles with the chosen predestinated Israelites in the together body of which Christ is head, forming the complement for filling all in all, are completing the entire universe. That's what God is calling out the church, which is the body, for, to complete the universe, to carry on his ministry up there in heaven, to grasp something of small measure of the transcendent greatness of God's grace and his kindness to us as Gentiles in this new revelation of the secret. It must be remembered that in that era before Christ came and died on the cross for the sins of the world, the Gentiles were apart from Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. That was the situation. But now, after Christ has come, the revelation of the secret on hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom on believing also you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the advance payment of our lot of procreation, and in spirit are a together body. A together body. The joint body of Christ. Thus we are conjointly sharing with the chosen predestinated Israelites, the saints in light, the full measure and complete equality of being vivified together, roused together, and seated together among the celestials in Christ Jesus with the same high high degree of transcendent greatness of his power and exaltation of celestial dignity and honor and glory of over every sovereignty and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is impending to be the continent or filling by which the whole universe will be completed. That's what this is talking about in the body of Christ. It talks about exaltation, honor, and power, and glory for reigning together with Christ for completing the universe. That's the body of Christ. That's not talking about the bride. That's not talking about Israel. That's not talking about Gentiles. That's not in the kingdom here on earth. That's not talking about the kingdom here upon the earth. That's going to have its fulfillment. That's going to have its glory. That is going to have its place in God's great plan, because everything in the heavens and on the earth is going to be completed, filled up, made full of the knowledge and glory and blessing of God. And this is the heavenly part that is being unfolded in the secret here. Beloved friends, we can see then that the secret in the threefold wealth of the unseen, unheard, unperceived spiritual blessings among the celestial in Christ is in this administration of the secret. It doesn't belong back yonder. It doesn't belong over yonder. It's now in the secret administration. Last, the joint partakers. This is the man-word relationship. The third itemized blessing of the secret is the together partakers. It is concerned with the man-word relationship. How the Gentile believers with the chosen, predestinated Israelites, the saints in light, they become together our fellow citizens in a new citizenship, a new commonwealth, a new realm, a new form of government, a new homeland in the heavens. Ephesians 2:19, Philippians 3:21. Let's look at this just a little bit before we close it. Remember, back here, Israel had the citizenship. Let me give you this, that you may just refresh your hearts and minds on it. We find that in that era, before Christ came in his place, put away sin, killed off the enmity through the cross, making peace, he rendered inoperative the law of commandments in ordinances, that he should be creating the two, Jew and Gentile, in himself into one new humanity, making peace, that the both may have access in one spirit to the Father. That's the purpose that comes in the secret message here. But remember this, beloved friends, that back here we read how that Israel had the ascendancy. Israel had the priesthood. Israel had the law and the statutes and the ordinances and the citizenship. And the Gentiles were strangers from the citizenship of it. They had this commonwealth or citizenship on the earth. But now we find in this revelation of the secret, there's a new citizenship set up. A new homeland. Listen at it again. Together our fellow citizens in the new commonwealth, realm, form of government, the homeland in the heavens. And so we find that with this before our hearts, we can see that no longer are you Gentiles, me, you, and others who believe the gospel of the grace of God, that we
are strangers and sojourners as they were back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and before that time, and down through the book of Acts. But we are together, fellow citizens of the saints, members of God's family, being built on the foundation of the apostles, Christ Jesus himself being the capstone of the corner, in whom you Gentiles are also being built together for God's dwelling place in spirit. Beloved friends, we need a long time to go into so many of the details that I've said here. I summarize briefly the secret once more to your heart. First, the Godward relationship. The grace called believing Gentiles in the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ are in spirit made together, joined alike, sharing jointly in full measure and complete equality with the chosen predestinated Israelites, his holy apostles and prophets, the saints in light, blessed with every spiritual blessing among the elect. Second, in the Christward relationship, believing Gentiles in spirit are a together, our joint body of Christ, thus conjointly sharing with the chosen predestinated Israelites, the saints in light, the whole nation, in complete equality of being vivified together, roused together, and seated together among the celestials in Christ with the same high degree of transcendent greatness of his power and exaltation and celestial dignity and honor and glory up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is future. The continent which is filling or completing the entire universe. That's the second blessing. And the third blessing of the secret. In spirit, Gentiles become together joint partakers of the chosen, predestinated Israelites, his holy apostles and prophets, the saints in light, as fellow citizens of the new commonwealth, the realm, the form of government, the homeland in the heavens, that now may be made known to the sovereignties and authorities among the celestials through the church, the manifold old wisdom of God according to the purpose of the aeons which he makes in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Ephesians 3, 8 to 12. Beloved friends, I have labored in order to get this condensed to the place where I could place it before your heart and we put it on the tape for future study and blessing. One of these days, by the grace of God, we expect to have the Ephesian lesson ready. I'm working on it, both day and night. So much has to be cleared up and set forth, and so I'm trying to condense and clarify as I go along, because I feel it is one of the most important things that I can leave for people to peruse and study in the days ahead. And so God bless you as you meditate on the thoughts this morning, and that it may be a rich blessing is my humble prayer. We look forward to your fellowship next Sunday when I will speak on things to come, prophecy. God bless you. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this day, this opportunity of speaking concerning the secret ordained before the world for our glory. We pray that we may appreciate it with a deeper, richer, fuller measure of appreciation and realization. We pray, our God and Father, to dismiss us in thy loving care and keeping with thy grace and thy peace, filling each heart, and all thanks and praise be unto thee in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.